Today's episode is brought to you by the Southern Living Plant Collection. To view our plant collection, find a retailer near you, or buy online, visit southernlivingplants.com. From your garden shed, garden bed, saying what your mama said is all wrong. It is I, Steve Bender, the Grumpy Gardener. Welcome to Season 2 of Ask Grumpy, a podcast from Southern Living. One of my foremost goals as Grumpy Gardener is to have all of my fans be able to grow gardens that are just as beautiful as mine. I'm here with my sassy sidekick, Nella McGough. Hello, Nella.
Hello, Grumpy.
Hi, Nella.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, too.
Okay, we have a question. I was recently gifted a weeping cherry tree. It's about 7 feet tall and doing well. However, a bunch of long, thin branches have sprouted near the base. I've gotten conflicting advice on how to deal with these. What do you suggest, Martha? Could that be Martha Washington? The weeping cherry tree?
Well, if this came by mail, yes. Yes. So, dear Martha, how's the last 200 years been to you? Okay. Really, thanks for hanging in there, Martha. Really, we appreciate it. Okay, here's the answer to your question about weeping cherries. Weeping cherry is a very popular ornamental tree, and it is basically a tree that has been grafted at the nursery. One part has been joined to another part to make this weeping tree. The weeping tree with the pretty flowers is called a scion. Scion sounds like real science fiction here. And what it is, it's grafted on top of a tall, straight trunk, which is called the understock. They do this so that the weeping branches don't just crawl all along the ground. Yeah, that'd be creepy. So what I think has happened in your case is that these slender shoots that are growing up from the ground are coming up from the roots of the understock. And you need to prune them off because if you don't, they'll eventually grow up to become more trunks and you'll lose the weeping form of your tree. So just cut them off and problem solved.
All right. Well, that seems easy. But aren't those also called suckers?
Yeah, that's another name we use for, you know, people who listen to my show. No.
Don't you talk about these fine, lovely
No, I love
like
them
that.
All. I love them all.
Of course.
I keep them in my prayers every night.
Okay. All right. Y'all have a good day.
All right. See you around. I hope.
We'll be back with more after the break. Welcome back to Ask Grumpy, a podcast from Southern Living. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Nella.
You got a good tip of the week for us?
Yes, our tip of the week. I got a question, and it was about how to grow really big beefsteak tomatoes, because someone had tried and only got a few measly little tomatoes on her plant. She was dissatisfied. So the first thing you got to know is beefsteak tomatoes are the ones that are really, really huge. The ones that you can take one slice and make a tomato sandwich out of if you want to. Now, I wouldn't do that because I don't like raw tomatoes.
You and me both.
I have a gene. It's a recessive tomato. It's called the T gene. And I just can't stand raw tomatoes.
Me either.
And there's lots of people like us, like Nella.
Yeah.
See? So I liked cooked tomatoes. I liked them in lots of other things. I like pasta. I like pizza and everything, but I just don't
like. I like fried grain tomatoes.
Yeah, but I just don't like uncooked tomatoes. So I'm not going to apologize for that. If that offends you, you can turn me off right now, but then you won't learn how to grow really nice beefsteak tomatoes, which is what I'm going to tell you. Okay, first thing you have to consider is that there's two basic types of tomatoes out there. There's ones called indeterminate, and there's ones called determinate. beefsteak is an indeterminate tomato plant. What that means is it's a vine. It never stops growing. And so in order to form all those really big tomatoes, it needs lots of stems. It needs lots of leaves to gather the sunlight to turn into sugars. And it needs a good root system. So first thing, when you go out to buy them, I would say do not buy a plant that's any more than about 12 to 14 inches tall, unless it's already planted in a big pot. Because if you get a really tall, lanky tomato plant and it's coming in a little 4-inch pot, you pull that plant out of the pot and you can see it's all root bound. It's like a solid block of roots. And they just grow around and strangle each other, and you put them in the ground, and the plant just sits there. So you're better off starting with a smaller plant that is not root-bound, that has a good, healthy root system that you can put in a bigger pot to expand. So don't put your beefsteak tomato plant in a teeny pot. You want a pot that's going to be at least 16 inches wide because the root system has to get big enough to support all the top growth above. Now, what are you going to put in that pot? Well, what you want to use is a good name brand bagged potting soil to fill up that pot for your tomato plant. Don't use topsoil. It's too heavy. It doesn't drain well. And don't just reuse the old potting soil that was in the pot from last year, because chances are it's devoid of nutrients at this point from all the rain and water that's gone through the pot. And also, it may contain disease spores that got on the plant from last year. So start off with new, fresh soil. Okay. Next thing, you have to put it in full sun. The leaves turn the sunlight's energy into sugars for the plant. They take that energy and they make leaves, they make stems, and they make tomatoes. To get the most and the biggest tomatoes, you need to have lots of sun. If you put the plant in a slightly shady or shady spot, you may get just a few tomatoes or none at all. The leaves will grow, but you won't get good tomatoes. Now, next thing. Keep the soil consistently moist. It needs to be well drained. You need to have drainage holes, but you don't want the soil to go either dry or be soggy, because neither condition is good for the roots. So if you have to water it every day, water it well, water it until water comes out the drainage hole, and then just let it be. And you can tell when a plant is starting to need water because the leaves will start to droop a little bit. But just try to keep it evenly moist throughout the growing season. You're also going to have to feed that plant. It is a big, hungry plant. It's got lots of leaves. It's growing lots of fruit. So you have to feed it, especially one that's growing not in the ground, but in a pot. So I would say feed it at least every 2 weeks with a liquid fertilizer, or feed it with a slow-release organic fertilizer that you sprinkle over the top of the soil and water it in. But keep up this feeding regime, because every time you water the plant, some of the food is washing out through the drainage hole. So you don't want that plant to starve. And finally, you're going to need to support this plant. It's going to get tall and lanky. It's a vine. It's not going to stop. So if you can't tie it up either to a stake or maybe put a wire cage around it, it's either going to break off under its own weight, or it's going to just lean over and hang all of its tomatoes and have them just resting on the ground. And tomatoes that are resting on the ground will be eaten during the night by every critter in your yard.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a couple of questions. So what if you get home and it is root bound? I mean, you could break the roots underneath the...
Well, what I would do in that case, if you pull it out of the pot and you haven't inspected the plant before you got home, and then you get home, you can do two things. You can take it back, yell at the person, "Didn't you know you were giving me a root bound plant?" Okay, but if you don't want to be mean like that, what I would do, take the plant out of the pot, get yourself a pencil or a screwdriver mm-hmm. and gently just press it in to the root ball and just kind of untangle those roots. Mm-hmm. Just kind of work them loose
yeah.
from each other. Unwind them. Try not to break them, but unwind them mm-hmm. and get them so that they're pointed in all different directions.
Okay.
That way they'll grow away from the stem of the plant into the soil and they won't wrap around each other mm-hmm. And the root system can expand and give you a healthy plant.
Okay, so I've also heard before that you should, you know, discard the old potting soil, but I've also read that you should wash the pots out with maybe your favorite blue soap.
I wouldn't use dishwashing soap yeah. like that. Now, what you could do is you could take a quart of water or something like that and maybe add like a tablespoon of bleach or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And then
yeah.
use that, and then use that to kind of rinse out the pot. That should kill any
yeah.
disease organisms mm-hmm. that may be in there in the pot. And then after you do that, rinse the pot out, which is straight old water.
Mm-hmm.
That should be enough.
Okay. And then one last thing about feeding your plants. So I've also read that you should have watered your plants first before you feed them, if you're feeding them a liquid feed.
It's always good to have the soil be somewhat moist for the plant before you feed it. Now, if you're using a liquid feed, most of that is water.
Mm.
So that's going to wet the soil
okay.
and should be okay.
Okay.
If you're using a dry fertilizer, that's when you have to make sure that the soil is moist before you use it, because dry fertilizer in dry soil will tend to draw moisture out of the roots of the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could actually cause the plant to dry up. So before you put the dry fertilizer on, water the plant and then put it on. And then the next time you can just water the plant and wash the fertilizer into the soil and the plant
okay.
can use it.
All righty. Well, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure. Thanks for tuning in to Ask Grumpy. This podcast airs every Wednesday and Saturday. If you have a question, you know where to find me. No question ever goes unanswered on the Grumpy Gardener Facebook page. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you won't miss an episode. And we love your feedback, especially positive feedback. If you could rate this podcast from 9 to 10 and leave a review, that would make me, Grumpy Gardener, very happy. You can also find us online at southernliving.com/AskGrumpy. Nailed it.